Now, sometimes when children are asked to make a choice, you never know what they're going to say or what they're going to do. I once heard of a clever little boy. His uncle held out his two hands like that, and he had a dime in one and a nickel in the other. He said to the little fella, "Which one will you take?" The little boy looked at his uncle and says, "Well, I'm not greedy, I'll take the little one." Now you be careful. You never know what they're going to say. Revelation chapter 13 we're at tonight. Revelation chapter 13, we'll just read the first 10 verses. "I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his great and his seat and great authority. Now I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. This deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. They worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. They worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hath an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." God will bless us, I'm sure, the reading of these verses. Now remember, he pointed out when we were studying chapter 12 the other evening, that chapters 12, 13 and 14 form one of those sections in the book of Revelation, like a parenthesis, where you have things explained. Explanations that throw light upon the main structure of the book. Here in chapter 13 then, we have certain truths that are laid before us that explains things. Chapter 13 has to do with two men who are depicted to us as beasts. That's their character. Now, as I read this chapter, I'm reminded tonight of two things. Something I heard said away back in 1940. World War II started with us in 1939. I know the United States didn't come in till sometime after that, but the war really started in 1939. First weekend in September. Now I heard this man. He was a fairly old man then. He died when he was 93 years of age. I heard them say one day to a crowd of men, he says, "Now men, remember this. This war is supposed to be prosecuted with a view to overcoming great dictators. The two dictators at that time was Adolf Hitler in Germany and Mussolini in Italy. These two dictators had joined forces and they'd made up their mind how much of the world they were going to conquer. Of course they failed, we know that. But the war was set in motion, and what we call the Allies were fighting against dictatorship. Then, of course, there was the great dictator at that time in Russia, Joseph Stalin. He was being held up as the man that everybody was to be afraid of, the great communist dictator. And this old man said this. He said, "Remember this, brethren, after this war is finished, there shall arise in the future a dictator worse than any of them. And that dictator is sure to arise out of the midst of the coalition of nations in Western Europe. Those who now are fighting against these other great dictators, out of the midst there will arise a greater dictator than any of them that they're supposed to be fighting now." That was a staggering statement to a lot of people, but he was right. 2 days ago, our new president made a speech, his first speech as president. In that speech, he said many interesting, startling things. At least to me they were. But he made one statement that drew forth great applause. But his statement was wrong. Yet the crowd of people who were listening to him believed it was right. And they applauded and applauded. Now, if you were listening to the speech, you'll recall it. He says, "The day of dictatorship is over." Remember, he emphasized it. It was one of the most emphatic statements he made in his whole speech. He says, "The day of dictatorship is done. It's over." The people applauded. Marvel. Again, I emphasize tonight, my friend, he's wrong in that statement. The day of dictatorship is not over. In fact, it hasn't yet dawned. When you come to Revelation chapter 13, you're introduced to a coming dictator. He's called the Beast. Now, don't come to me after the meeting tonight and ask me, "Mr. McNeil, which of these beasts do you think is the Antichrist?" You search that one out for yourself and come to your own conclusion. I'll stick to the scriptural words and I'll not go wrong. There's the first beast and there's the second beast. That's what Revelation 13 terms them. And we're looking tonight at this first beast. Now, if you've been following through our studies chapter by chapter, I know they've been a bit disjointed with weeks missing and so on, but still, if you're able to catch up with them, you'll see that these things are future. The seals have not yet begun to be broken. The church is still here. And only after the church is gone will the seals be broken, and these things will come to pass in rapid succession. Crushed in to 7 years from Revelation chapter 4 right on to the midst of Revelation chapter 19. Crushed in to 7 years. Now remember this, that after the church is gone, this old world then is going to face a great time of trouble. Whether the tribulation will be for 7 years, and the tribulation, which is the great one, for the last 3.5 years, you'll have to decide. Some folk like to speak of the whole 7 years as a time of tribulation. Others think that while there will be a measure of tribulation in the first 3.5, it'll be the final 3.5 that will be the great tribulation. The Lord's referring to it way back in Matthew 24 says it'll be a time the likes of which the world had never known before and will never know after. Now the world has come through a lot of trials, a lot of troubles. But there's something facing them yet, the likes of which they've never experienced before. And right in the very midst of that, he is one who is going to be manifested to them. He's called here the beast. This seems to be an all-out effort of Satan himself to defeat the purposes of God. Satan set himself in array against God away back before this earth was created, it would seem almost. At least before man was. The earth may have been here. Satan sought to usurp the throne of God. He fell. After Adam was created and placed in the garden, then Satan made man his target. Not only was he trying to get at mankind, but by getting at mankind, he was trying to overthrow the purposes of God. It would almost appear that he had succeeded. But it's right there where the first prophecy is given, that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the serpent. His overthrow is predicted back in Genesis chapter 3. But right throughout the whole of the Bible, you'll find that the devil himself is arrayed against God. Here, when we come to the book of the Revelation, knowing that his time is short, it's an all-out effort to win the day. These events here then are on earth. And Satan is going to energize two men. Now you might ask the question, has Satan any power to energize men? Can he do that? I'll just raise one scripture to you. Here was a man who was very close to the Lord himself. He was a disciple. He was called from amongst a great number of disciples. And he was numbered with the 12 who were called apostles. Now if these 12 apostles were sent forth to preach, he must have been one of them. Power to preach. Power to perform miracles, although we never read of any that he performed. He was promoted to be the treasurer of that little band. Yet isn't that the very man of whom the scripture says Satan entered into him? A man who left himself wide open to the attack of the evil one. Satan entered into Judas, took complete control, and Judas was willing to hand himself over under the control of the devil. It seemed there was no drawing back. He went all the way and betrayed the Lord for a few paltry pieces of silver. They burned themselves into his very brain, into his conscience. He took them back and he threw them to the priests and said, "There, take it. I have betrayed the innocent blood." And went out over the brook Hinnom, put a rope round his neck, swung from a tree. It would appear either the branch or the rope broke, and down he went. And even his mortal body was smashed. And the Bible says, and Judas went to his own place. What a tragedy. The devil getting hold upon a man. When we come to Revelation 13, the devil is going to energize two men here. One of them is going to take a great political place. The second one will take a religious place. Now we pointed out when we were coming down through chapter 6, at the opening of the seals, the first rider that came forth was riding a white horse, pretending peace. The second rider comes out on a red horse, took peace from the earth and launched it into war. When you come to look at this man here, the first beast, he rises out of the sea. Now, most of you will be familiar with this, that when you come across certain figures in the Word of God, they convey a meaning. You say, how could the beast come out of the sea? Well, you remember the Bible tells us that the nations are like the troubled sea. Now, I suppose each of you have been down at the seashore at some time or another. Occasionally you'll go there and you'll find it almost as still as a mill pond, just a little ripple on the water and so on. They go down at other times and you'll be afraid to go near the shore because of the size of these waves when the sea is in a storm. I didn't believe some people when they told me what it was like in the Atlantic in a storm until I experienced one. But when the sea is in a storm, it churns up all the rubbish, the mire, the filth that's there. The nations are like the troubled sea. People in great agitation, like the restless waves of the deep. Now you must admit with me that that's exactly what the nations are like today. The nations are like the troubled sea. You know, you stand there and you see a wave coming in, you say, I wonder how far will that one come in? And by the time it comes in, you find one has broken here and it's on the way back and they seem to clash. You get your white foam coming there. You watch another one breaking and coming. How far will that one come? They seem to be fighting against one another. That's exactly what the nations are like today. The nations today are in great agitation like the restless waves of the deep. And I wonder what they're looking for. You're accustomed in this country, of course, that you're able to go and you cast your vote, either by making a big X or pressing a button, drawing a lever. And you seem to be able to vote a man in and vote a man out, but they haven't been able to do that down in Cuba, have they? He's been in there for about 29 or 30 years now. Put himself in there with the aid of a few others. Nobody can put him out. I don't know who put Gaddafi in. I'm afraid somebody will put him out all the way some of these days. There was others that went in. They still go around and look at the tomb now. Lenin's tomb. It's quite a thing for sightseers. Who put these men in? Mussolini had an awful end. Hitler had an awful end. And still there are those going around who are still placing themselves in. Not by the vote of the people at all, the dictators. But let us get back to this. The devil will energize them, and the world, the restless nations of the world today, are still looking for men. We'll go further than that. The nations of Europe today are looking for a man. There was a time when they looked for a man in Britain to be the Prime Minister. They couldn't get one, so they put a woman in. She's in her third term now. You ever ask yourself why a woman is in as a Prime Minister? Because they couldn't get a man. Go back to the Old Testament. The only time God used a woman when some men failed, he had to use a woman. Failure with the men. There was a time when you had kings ruling in Spain, France, Germany, and so on. Where are they today? In Sweden? Hardly hear about kings or queens today, do you? And these countries are all in a state of agitation, never knowing what a day is going to bring forth. They're looking for a man. They set up the United Nations. First thing they need is a man. Whatever title you give to him, there he is. He takes the prominent place. Europe is looking for a man, and Europe will get its man. A worse dictator than they have ever had before. Where's he going to arise from? Out of this mass of revolutionary confusion. That's what we have today. They don't seem to be able to control what's going on. How in all the world men have the ability, and how they're able to get in to plant a bomb in an aircraft that blows up when it's less than an hour on the way, kills all these people. Who did it? Someone with a revolutionary mind. And all the authorities and the powers we have, they're going to find them. But they're taking a long time. And by the time they've found out who's responsible for one, there's something else that's happened that's going on all the time. We're living in a revolutionary age. An uprising of sin and iniquity. And evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse. And they're calling out for a man. And the advent of this beast will be, he'll arise out of that awful, unformed mass of people who are in a troubled state. And they don't know which way to turn. Give us a man. He'll rise all right. World dictator coming. I'm glad that I'm saved and that the church will be gone before he makes his appearance. But the stage is set for him. Everything's ready. Look at the appearance of the beast. When this man arises, he's going to have 10 horns. A horn in the Word of God is that which is indicative of power and authority. Now, sometimes we think of a horn as a kind of instrument that you blow or something like this. That's not the thought of it in the Word of God. A horn was indicative of power and authority. He's a man who has 10 horns. And he's got 7 heads. 7 heads. When you think of a head, you think of the seat of intelligence. He's a man with 7 heads. He's the fullness of intelligent government. It's the best that men can produce. They've all got their plans. Each man has had his ideas. Some get 4 years to carry it out and fail. Some get 8 years and they're disappointed because they couldn't get it carried out. He's a man had 29 years. I wonder what he's done. He is a man, fullness of intelligent government, 7 heads. And look what his appearance is like a leopard. That speaks of swiftness of action. He won't require to call a meeting of his cabinet to ask what to do. As a dictator, he'll say the word, get it done. Dictator doesn't need to ask anybody what to do. He's in the place of authority, he just does it. He gives the command. It's got to be carried out. Swiftness in action. That's why in the book of the Revelation, these things take place in rapid succession, one after the other. No time wasted at all. It's all crushed into 7 years. Feet like a bear. Strength to crush. I heard of a man who used to keep a bear in a cage, and to draw the crowd round about to buy from his little store, he would go into the cage occasionally and wrestle with this bear. I don't know whether he had it trained not to hurt him or not, but he was a bigger fool than I was. I wouldn't have gone near the thing. I tried to put my weight against one day. I would never try it again. It was way up on a landing. It was a little pulley rope there with a can on it, and you had to put you paid 10 cents to the man, of course, to get the peanuts, and you put them in and sent your 10 cents of peanuts, and that thing pulled it up on the rope, took the peanuts and sent it back down to you. And I thought, that's easy food, that, pay him to feed his bear. I thought, I'll get more fun out of it than that. I'll put one in at a time. Being a Scotsman, I thought it was awful to give it a full can of peas all at once. So I put one in and it pulled it up. If it could have got down at me, I think it would have gone for me. It sent the can down and sent up another one. So I said to some of the folks standing by, well, have some fun this time. So I waited till it pulled it halfway up and I took hold of the rope. And I was going to hold it. I didn't hold it long. I nearly took the skin off my hand. They were terrific strength. And you know, with those big paws of theirs, just knock you right down. Feet like a bear. Just a man. And the Word of God says you'll be as swift as a leopard. Swift in action. Feet like a bear, strength to crush. But he's got a mouth of a lion. I told some children once, Sunday school, I said, no, have you ever been near a lion? That I stood 4 feet from a lion one day, stood and faced it up, just 4 feet from it. And it opened its mouth and it roared at me. And I says, I never twitched an eyebrow. I just stood and stared it out. And they were standing listening to me with a mouth open. I said, you see, it was at the zoo, it was in the cage. Yeah, I was only 4 feet from it, but these big iron bars were between me and that lion. If there hadn't been a cage there, I wouldn't have been near the thing. A lion. The king of the jungle. Sovereignty. Sovereignty with cruelty. You see now the kind of character of this man? He's going to rise to his power out of the midst of the troubled nations. European nations. Western allies, as we call them. In appearance, he'll have all the power, 10 horns, and all the intelligence of government, 7 heads, a swift in action like a leopard, strength to crush like a bear. You either do what you're told or else, up comes your head. The mouth of a lion, you'll just give the roaring command and that's it. But now where does this man get all his authority? Think of the authority of the beast. The source of his authority is the dragon. It was the dragon that gave him his power. And we saw from chapter 12 who the dragon really is. The dragon, the great red dragon, is that old serpent, the devil, the accuser. And just as he took control of Judas to betray the Lord, so he'll take control of this man and he'll give all the power, all the authority to this man. But the dragon is behind him. I may be wrong in this, but I'll tell you, I believe strongly that men who are in places of governmental authority will either be influenced by the evil one, or they'll be influenced by the standards of God, one or the other. And may the Lord help us. May we be delivered from ever coming under a man who is energized by the devil. If so, you're in for trouble. Think now not only of the source of his authority, the dragon. See the influence of his authority. The people are going to worship him. They won't worship God. But they're prepared to worship a man. And he's going to speak great things. I read back in the Acts of the Apostles, a man who deceived the people by speaking great things and making out he himself was some great one. Well, here's another man with the power of the devil behind him. He's going to speak great things. But he'll only be in the place of power for 42 months. That is 3.5 years. And God will say, finish. There's the cruelty of his authority. He's prepared to make war. Of course, he may blame somebody else for instigating it, but he'll be responsible. The extent of his authority over all people. Time's more than gone. I trust you'll realize this, my friend. And I repeat what I've said over and over again. Don't run away with the idea this world is becoming a better place. It's not. This old world is going from bad to worse. I don't care who's in power or in what country. The old devil has people today rocked to sleep in the cradle of sin and hopelessness. And he's waiting to produce his man, to put his man in the place. He'll get his man in before that God's man comes out and overthrows him. Because these two beasts of Revelation 3, you'll come across them again near the end of the book, where they're both taken and cast alive into the lake of fire. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for another day spent with thy people. We thank thee for each one here tonight and for these little ones. Oh, we think of the awful world they'll have to face. We pray thou shalt give them the strength and the wisdom. And we pray that many of them, yea, all of them, may come to know the Savior early in life. We commit them to thee now. We commit every family here. And the sick ones whose names have been mentioned to us again today, God, in mercy, look down upon them. Bless them and give them a sense of thy presence. Take each of us home now in safety for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Meeting's over.